Our gospel reading today is a set of Jesus' sayings that loosely connect with each other and with the discourse that immediately precedes it. Those sayings complete the exhortation to consider the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. These are illustrations of God's great care for us. The way these sayings connect is almost like following a winding path through a thematic garden. And as there is in any good thematic structure, there is a common thread that weaves through each area. The conceptual continuity of this part of Luke's gospel is summed up in a few words spoken by Jesus. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." When Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock," he is reminding us that the fear and divisiveness that we see on the news or read about on Facebook or we hear in public discourse, well, those things do not speak the last word in defining our lives. How comforting it is to know that God's good pleasure is what defines our lives. God's good pleasure defines our lives when we accept the invitation into the kingdom of heaven, where love rules, justice prevails, and mercy is for everyone. We are invited to store up treasures for ourselves there in that kingdom by lightening our load, by sharing what remains in response to the love of God, who counts the very hairs on our heads. That invitation is to be freed up from the emotional entanglement that comes from the worry and fear, the greed and the competitiveness that can creep into our lives if we're not careful, because they are such a part of our culture. And Jesus says, if your treasure is in the kingdom of heaven, your heart will be there too. Your heart, which is the engine of your body, but is also the very epitome of the inner eternal life. Your heart resides in heaven if you store up treasures there. Now, this offer comes from God, so we can assume that the treasures that Jesus is talking about are not meant to be hoarded for ourselves, nor are they meant to be indulged in ways that are harmful or unhealthy. Jesus is offering the treasures of love, friendship, joy, kindness, shared dreams and hopes. Perhaps you can think of others. These are living treasures that are born out of the relationships that we have in the world. And again, because Jesus is the one talking, we can be sure that the relationships that he's talking about are not just with those people with whom we sit comfortably in the pews. Jesus is talking about seeking him in all others. Relationships that may require our serving and loving people we'd rather not be bothered with, perhaps. And those relationships are the source of the treasures of love and joy and shared dreams that we've talked about. Those dreams that we're invited to store up in heaven, where nothing can break them, nothing can damage them. As I've been thinking about storing up treasures this week, I was reminded of something that happened not long ago. Most of you know that Will and I just recently moved here. And as we were storing boxes up in the attic of our new home here in the upstate, I found myself handing up to Will this box that is marked "Christmas Ornaments, Odd and Delicate." I remember labeling that box "Last Epiphany." I was in the process of scaling down our Christmas stuff because our family Christmases have changed now that our children live in another state, and I knew we'd be moving before Christmas, so it was time. That box contains some of my favorite Christmas ornaments, and they don't fit neatly into those prefabricated ornament boxes that you can get for storing things. These ornaments are indeed odd and delicate, and they are treasures of my heart because of what they represent. Each one of those ornaments represents something about the ways that our family has lived out the celebration of the Incarnation through the years. Now, incarnation is a theological, churchy word that we use to describe what it meant when God became human, when Jesus was born. So, some of these ornaments are handmade, were handmade by our sons when they were young. Some of them were gifts from very dear choir friends with whom we no longer get to sing Christmas songs on Christmas Eve. Each one of these ornaments reminds me of God's good pleasure in being amongst us as one of us. When you think about it, God's good pleasure in becoming a human being is odd and delicate itself. It is odd and delicate because incarnation weaves human existence into the might and glory of our Creator. God's good pleasure was to invite us into the heaven, the kingdom of heaven, by becoming one of us. Now, I know it's kind of odd to be preaching about Christmas in the heat of August and sweating as we are, but somehow that's where the path has led me this week. And maybe the heat has really gotten to me because I'm also hearing Advent in this gospel reading. T.S. Eliot wrote in his poem, The Cultivation of Christmas Trees, "The beginning shall remind us of the end and the first coming of the second coming." The urgency that we hear in the gospel today to be ready for the unexpected hour when the Son of Man returns, well, that sounds very Adventish to me. What I love about this particular prediction of the second coming is that it's much more encouraging than it is threatening. This isn't a message that we need to be ready for judgment. This is a message that we need to be ready for blessing. When the Lord returns, He's putting on an apron and spreading out a feast for us. He's going to serve us a fabulous meal. God is standing by to give us the kind of blessings that come with finding the living treasure that we get when we seek and serve those who are least likely to be the people we hang out with regularly. Whenever we do that, we are putting our treasure and our hearts in heaven, where they will not be worn away by despair or eaten up by bitterness. God's good gifts to us enable us to respond to the world's needs and to live our lives freed from the fear of darkness and death. We have been given gifts of power to share with the world: mercy, music, teaching, hospitality, healing, reconciliation, our beautiful liturgies, our beautiful worship spaces. These are given to the world through us in anticipation of that coming feast described in our gospel today. We've been given the gift of life, both here and now and in that coming age, life made possible by the gift of God with us, Jesus. How fitting that today, when we are reminded of God's good pleasure in giving us that life as God's own beloved children, that we have welcomed a new member to the household of God earlier today. Celia Jane Robb was officially marked as Christ's own today in holy baptism as part of our living treasure. She's part of our living treasure that we hold, our treasure of love, hope, shared dreams. And we have also committed to God's care today the body of our brother Don Priota, whose heart and soul now reside in that heavenly kingdom where our living treasure is stored. The odd and delicate truth of our faith is that God has woven together our concrete physical existence with the eternal divine presence. And what results from that is indeed a treasure. Our treasure in heaven is actually experienced here and now in our acts of mercy and justice and love. They aren't meant to be stored away in the attic, boxed up and slowly turning to dust. Our heavenly treasure is meant to be shared as we live out our baptismal promises and celebrate our joy and our hope of eternal life, even in the midst of sorrow. So what do you say? Shall we enjoy God's good pleasure together and seek that kingdom that he has given to us? It's as simple as saying, I will, with God's help.